Welcome to RTB Live Extra, a new podcast brought to you by Reasons to Believe. This week, we'll answer science faith questions we didn't get to during this week's RTB Live broadcast. If you want to catch the show live, tune in on Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific on the Reasons to Believe YouTube channel.
Interesting question here from Dylan. How do you engage someone who believes they are a good person and believes in karma? How would you start a conversation to point towards Christ and that background info? Well, Dylan, I think maybe I would raise the question, why do you believe in karma? What is karma? Does that mean then that the actions you do in this life, you are responsible for? And did you get that from Hinduism or Buddhism? What's the source of your kind of Eastern mystical beliefs? Then I think I would do that contrast that I spoke of on the original RTB Live. If you're a Buddhist or a Hindu, and what you do, you pay for. You did it, you pay for it. In Christianity, you did it, Christ pays for it. Again, that doesn't mean that Christians aren't responsible agents in the world in which they live, but we mean it in a cosmic sense, that I have sinned against God. I have not loved him with all of my being and loved my neighbor as myself. And I have created a chasm between me and God because of my sin. But in Christianity, instead of you doing it, you paying for it, as you have in Eastern karma, in Christianity, you did it, but Christ is your savior. He is your substitute. The purpose of Jesus' life and ministry is to lay down a sacrifice that reconciles you to God. So I think in answering your question, I would explore where he got the karma idea and then how karma differs from Christ as our savior. Question, did Siddhartha Gautama feel guilty about leaving his wife and son? Interesting question. Remember that Siddhartha is living as the son of the king, and he has a very lavish life. He is affluent. Mary is a princess. They have a child together. I think the context of that is that Siddhartha thought that the issues of ultimate meaning and purpose, that is questions about life, death, and suffering, that they were more weighty than even his daily family life. And I might also tell you that the story is that Siddhartha, when he becomes the Buddha, there are family members that he converts to following him. So he later influences family members. But I think the answer to the question is that Siddhartha felt that these deep philosophical religious questions are even more important than our daily life. And that is controversial, right? Did he abandon his wife and son? But I think that's probably the thinking in a Buddhist context. Ron says, why is God not empowering his church to spread his gospel and the Christian faith is currently static? Is the church possibly deluded about some of our approaches to the world's problems? Well, fine question, Ron. First of all, I would say that the Holy Spirit is involved in all of our evangelistic efforts. I think the New Testament is very clear that it is the Holy Spirit speaking in Scripture that sets forth the gospel, the good news that we can be reconciled to God. While the Holy Spirit is active in his church, there are times where, you know, the church is the church. It's made up of broken, flawed, scarred people. And I think there are times where we don't think enough and put enough emphasis upon things like evangelism, apologetics, mission. You know, the church is many things. It's sometimes a hospital. It's sometimes a place of fellowship, certainly a place of worship. But it should also be a place where it draws us to the importance of thinking about ideas, thinking about how we can best present the gospel, and also how we can try to help people in their daily lives. And of course, many Christians through the centuries have done those things. So yes, the Spirit is active, but we also have freedom of responsibility. And sometimes the church gets in the way. Let's see here. I have a question from Floyd. It says, would you please comment on the trilogy by Francis Schaeffer, Finding the Truth by Nancy Piercy, Van Til books by Rush Dooney. Regarding your question of Francis Schaeffer, I think highly of him. I think highly of his books. Very thoughtful in apologetics, kind of cultural evaluation. Cornelius Van Til, very influential thinker within presuppositionalism, reformed approach to apologetics. Similar with Rush Dooney. Let me respond to one more question here. What religion did Jesus practice? Was Jesus a Jew, but also the child of Christian God? Does that make him a different religion rather than Jewish? Well, that's an engaging question. Jesus, of course, was a Jew. He did practice Judaism. Jesus, of course, is thought to be the long-awaited Jewish Messiah. Therefore, Christianity is deeply rooted in the Hebrew Bible. The Lord and Savior of Christians is none other than Jesus the Messiah. The Christian Bible includes the Hebrew Scriptures. So undoubtedly, Jesus was a practicing Jew. He would have went to the synagogue. He would have been thoroughly familiar with the Torah, the law, the Tanakh. And yet Jesus, we would see as Christians as being the fulfillment of that religion. And so the ties between Christianity and Judaism are very deep. There are places where the New Testament moves a little differently than the Hebrew Old Testament in terms of kind of some of the Jewish practices and things like that. But certainly Jesus was a Jew, but he was not merely a human person who followed Judaism. He was the Messiah. He was the Lord and Savior. He was God in human flesh.
Thank you for listening. Your prayers and financial support are reaching people with Reasons for Faith in Jesus Christ, our Creator and Savior. To allow Reasons to Believe programs like this to continue, make your gift today at reasons.org.